On Draft Podcast. I am your host, Dalton Miller, joined as always by my co-host, Corey Kinnon. And today we're going to change things up a little bit. We are not going to go to the Texas defense because we needed more time to watch those guys. We are going to a mailbag. And this is a fun mailbag because we are going to hit football question to non-football question to football question to non-football question. And we're going to just go down through it, have a little bit of fun with this one. There will be some hard-hitting NFL draft stuff in here. There will be some fun NFL draft stuff in here. There's some fun food talk here and a little bit of bodybuilding stuff. So let's get into it after I ask Corey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. You know, we recorded at midnight my time, and here we are again at 3:15 my time. So I love the doubleheader days.
Me too. Me too. I love doubling up. Let's get to it, man.
All right. So let's dive right in. I like this first one a lot. So this is a quarterback question from Bill Sparks, who is a member of our Discord channel, Dapt on Draft. Again, all you have to do is be a free sub. You don't even have to have a paid sub. There's a couple locked channels. All you got to do, be a free sub, and you get an access code to that Discord channel. A fun one. Would you rather have Lenora Sellers on the Clemson offense, Cade Klubnik on the LSU offense, Nussmeier on the Texas offense, or Arch Manning on the South Carolina offense? This is such a fun one. I really enjoy this one.
I think if you're looking at anything, man, it's almost gotta be any of these dudes. And then on the Texas offense, right? Like, it's so tough. Like, if it was Lenora Sellers on the Texas offense, I'd pay. If it was Cade Klubnik on the Texas offense, maybe I would pick something else. But like Garrett Nussmeier and his gunslinger mentality in that Texas offense would be so hilarious to watch.
Yeah.
Pushing the ball downfield into tight windows and just having Sark go insane for just not hitting the wide open running back. Like, I can see it now, but I could also see Garrett Nussmeier turning into 2019 freaking Joe Burrow and having a 5,000-yard season and being absolutely unconscious all year, too. And so I just think anybody in that Texas offense, it's just such a well-constructed unit, and the offensive line is outstanding, and the weapons are fantastic, and the run game is unbelievable, and Sark's a great play caller as well, and has great game flow. It's just, man, anybody in that Texas offense would be a lot of fun to watch. And I'm, well, except for the guy who started for them last year. But anywho, Arch is going to be a lot of fun in the Texas offense, and Garrett Nussmeier would be as well.
I think that's where I'm leaning too, just because as well, we comp Mac Jones to, or Garrett Nussmeier to Mac Jones a lot, and Mac Jones ran that offense perfectly in 2020 at Alabama. There's also something about like the Klubnik and the LSU offense that makes it like makes me feel like that offense could. They did just transfer in a bunch of receivers. I was going to say they still don't have the stallions that Daniels had with Neighbors and Thomas, obviously. Well, yeah. But like that is a different offensive coordinator. That offensive coordinator is at Notre Dame now too. But like that style offense with Klubnik and all the speedsters they just transferred into LSU. There's something about Klubnik and the LSU offense though that's like I could do that. I could roll with that. South Carolina is too like static. I get that it's like a pro style offense, but it's almost too robotic. So Arch in that offense like doesn't interest me at all. And then Clemson's offense is
I've hated Clemson's offense since the dawn of time.
And I know it's Garrett Riley now calling plays, and Garrett Riley has an influence on scheme and stuff like that, but like I'm not interested very much there either. I think I'm gonna go Cade in the LSU offense, with in mind the receivers that they've transferred in.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, so that's where I'm going to go, I think.
We have a question from JJ Pegasus Enjoyer.
I love that.
Are you a cereal before milk guy or a milk before cereal guy? Listen, if you, and I'm going to call out Jesse Holly here, former Dallas Cowboy, now with DLSS. He is a milk before serial guy, and I just think that you are a serial killer if you do.
Yes,
that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How do you know if it's the right amount of milk?
You don't.
Or are you putting the, as somebody who tracks everything that he eats, are you putting the milk in first and then just going with however much cereal fits with your milk? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. You put the cereal in first and then you put the amount of milk in that you need to properly coat your cereal.
And your cereal gets a little moist by dumping the milk on it. Other than that, if you do milk before cereal, you have to like crunch it with your spoon a little bit and like,
like mix it all up and then you're getting milk everywhere. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Stupid. Yeah, definitely cereal before milk. Easy one. All right, next one.
Who's your pick for biggest overall riser in the 2026 class, regardless of position?
I've got a couple, but I think I'm going to save. I had a wide receiver picked out, but I think I'm going to save that wide receiver for the last question, actually. So I am going to pick.
I have two wide receivers for it. So I have a wide receiver for both of them.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Northwestern here, and I'm going to choose Northwestern edge rusher Anto Saka, who is like very. I mean, he's not as dense as Odafe Owe was at Penn State. Like, right, Odafe Owe was like stacked out of his mind.
Yeah.
Saka is more like long than that dense, but he is ungodly explosive. He's got some bend, but he's very, very raw. Like, I think he had like 4 sacks last year. But Anto Saka
was born to Shamar Stewart, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But Anto Saka has like ungodly green athletic traits, though. So,
I'm sorry, man. I'm going crazy with this edge rusher thing right now.
Yeah. So I think I'm gonna go with Anto Saka. Like, if he puts it all together, man, that guy's a first round pick.
All right. I didn't know where I was gonna go with this one between the two wide receivers, but I do think that it makes more sense for me because there isn't as much talk about him because he wasn't an NFL or a potential NFL draft prospect last year because he wasn't draft eligible yet. The other guy I'm going to pick is and was draft eligible and did not come out and then transferred. This person is Eugene Wilson III, the biggest overall riser in the 2026 class, regardless of position. I just, ever since he was a true freshman at Florida, every time he touched the ball, I thought, this could be a home run. Mm-hmm. And I think that DJ Lagway might be the best quarterback in the nation, even better than Arch. And even better than Sellers. So like, if it's ever going to happen with Eugene, it's going to be this year. And I really want to see what he's able to do, you know, more in a more traditional wide receiver role, because he is a little bit of a gadget guy right now. But the pure athleticism, explosiveness, wiggle with him is outrageous. And I think that if he has kind of rounded into a legitimate wide receiver, we could be talking about a guy with round one type of athleticism.
I love it. Like that, all those Florida receivers, because like even Chimere Dike like got drafted like relatively early. And he's not a player I paid much attention to, but then you go back and watch like, oh, wait, this guy's not only was he one of the more athletic wide receivers at the combine, but he can play. He can play.
Yep.
And now the DK is gone. Somebody else does step in there. All right. What is your go-to lean meat when restricting calories? This one's a very easy answer for me.
Corey, go first, because I think you're going to be wrong, but go for
it. I'm very wrong because I'm very boring, but it's really easy. It's really accessible, and it's 200 calories for 38 grams of protein. But Chick-fil-A grilled nuggets is my answer. Like, it's just it's very easy. Again, if I'm trying to hit protein and stay low, I can even put one of their packets of honey on there for like an extra 25 calories. Shake it up with the packet of honey in there and have like a honey glazed chicken. But it's the Chick-fil-A grilled nuggets, 12 piece, 200 calories, 38 grams of protein.
Yeah, I mean, if you make your own food, it's whitefish. It's whitefish. There's no fat. There's practically no fat. And it's cheaper than shrimp. I would have said shrimp, but whitefish is cheaper than shrimp. Shrimp is expensive. Hypoxic also asks, what food item is plentiful in Portugal, less so in the United States, that you are going to miss the most? This one is very, very easy. They have a delicacy here called pastel de nata. It is an egg custard inside of a baked pie crust type deal. And it's flaky and it's custardy in the inside and it's warm and you put cinnamon sugar on the top of it. It is absolutely wonderful when it is fresh. The other thing is just the pastries in general, man, and the incredible coffee that they have here. And so everything that surrounds breakfast, which is my favorite meal, which is super unfortunate. But more than anything that I'm going to miss is like going out to a restaurant and knowing that like half of the things that are on the menu, even though I like count calories and I'm very like cognizant of what I'm eating, I can eat a lot of what is there. Mm-hmm. And when I go to a restaurant in the United States, it's like, well, what one menu item is not fucking fried here? And so that's going to be fun when I go out to eat in the United States. But that's kind of what I'm going to miss the most when it comes to the food stuff.
Yeah, I've got my my softball playoffs tonight, and we're for sure going to Brewster's after the game. And so that's going to be the thing. It's like, all right, what am I? How do I eat here? Yeah. But I love Roosters, man. Oh, I love Roosters. All right. From Jacob Roach, former Browns Wire alumni as well here. Jacob Roach, who is your favorite mid-major draft prospect? And for me, this is such an easy answer. But
go ahead. It was going to be my answer too, yeah. But I knew it was going to be your answer, so I let you have it.
I have been in love with John Michael Gillenborn for like 14 months. Like, I watched this guy in like April of 2024.
Yeah, you did.
Like, this guy's got,
I remember you texting me about it,
pack on his ass. Like, this guy hauls ass. The dude is just ungodly athletic, ungodly vertical, explosively through the air as well, as a Wyoming tight end, I should say. Ungodly athletic, can leap out the building, run by dudes after the catch, man. He's even got a little wiggle after the catch and can separate like with the football in his hands. He's the closest thing we've had to Mike Gesicki since Mike Gesicki came out of Penn State. But the thing with Mike Gesicki is he was like 260, like 6'6", 260, right? So like that's the difference between Mike Gesicki and John Michael Gillenborn. John Michael Gillenborn is probably pushing 235. But in terms of an F tight end, man, I think that this dude's tremendous. Blesto grades the second highest graded upperclassman tight end in the nation coming out through summer scouting, behind only Ohio State's Max Clair. And I love Max Clair as well. But that tells you how good even the NFL thinks that John Michael Gillenborn is. And, you know, I wrote him up last summer. I was working at SI last summer doing SI draft. And I was just doing research on him because I was writing up a scouting report. I was like, I got to write this guy up. He's that good. Funny story about John Michael Gillenborn, former basketball player. That's not surprising. Only played football his senior year because a rival basketball coach got his school's football job and said, hey, you need to come play football for me because of what he did to him on the basketball court. It was the COVID year and he broke his leg. The dude got offered a Division I scholarship after playing 3 varsity football games. 3 high school varsity football games and got offered a D1 scholarship. That's just the kind of freak athlete we're talking about here. I think he's from Kansas, like Kansas, I think. I would need to go back and refresh on that. But yeah, it's John Michael Gillenborn by like a country mile.
Yeah. And I think like if you're also adding like FCS guys, you're looking at, everybody's going to say Bryce Lance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mine is a very deep cut. Actually somebody who wanted this player cut up for defensive snaps on my Patreon. Red Murdoch, linebacker from Buffalo. Not only does he have a round one name, he is round one production, all MAC player, first team, absolutely outrageous production in the MAC, and so much fun to watch on tape. I actually sat down and legitimately watched him as I was cutting him up. I was like, this dude is so awesome. And so I sat down and I actually watched him, and he was a lot of fun. Now, I don't know how athletic he is. I don't know if he's a guy who will even, you know, really approach round five, but he is my favorite mid-major guy right now.
I love it. I love a deep cut. Love a deep cut. We got a new bodybuilding question. Dalton, I'm not a bodybuilder, so I'll let you answer this one. I guess I could answer from like a weight loss.
You can answer it from like a fitness perspective.
Yeah, I guess.
What part of the bodybuilding, and this is from Scumbag Activity, and that was really tough to get because it is a lot of
it looks like web
unique
yeah.
characters. What part then this is from my Discord. What part of the bodybuilding lifestyle is the easiest, hardest, completely different than you thought before you started? I think when it comes to the easiest part for me, when it comes to the bodybuilding lifestyle is, and it's completely different than what I thought, like this dieting phase from like an actual like eating perspective. Mm-hmm. has been a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. I've found ways in, and I don't really eat like a traditional bodybuilder, but I eat a lot like some of the bodybuilders who went to school for nutrition. The two guys I'm really thinking of are John Jewett, who was a 212 competitor and is now an open competitor. And also the founder of J3 University, and they get like coaches. But he was a nutritionist in a hospital, a dietitian in a hospital before, you know, he became a pro bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. And then Wesley Vissers, who went to school for nutrition as well. And they have very wide ranging, diets. And so do I. I eat a lot of different things, even throughout prep. I eat a lot of different things. Now when I am, you know, at the end of it, I'm eating a lot of the same things, and I'm eating the same exact dinner almost every single night so I can keep things steady going into the next morning. But it's been a lot easier to enjoy dieting than I thought it was going to be. I also haven't had to like kill myself with cardio, which is something that I think a lot of people have to do. That is really tough. When it comes to harder, getting in contest shape, getting that lean, because you try and you keep losing weight and you keep losing weight and you keep losing weight. And when I got to 170, I was like, oh, I'm close. And then I got to 162 and I'm like, oh, I'm still kind of close. Like it's just, you always have more body fat than you think. And that is something that I think everybody starting this journey for the first time has to get through their head.
What about something that was completely different that you thought would be?
Completely different. I think my thoughts overall on training. I've really changed the way that I think about training recently. And that's not something I'll really get into here because it's a really complicated topic. But I was very, very like TikTok science based. Like I followed a lot of those creators and I followed what they did. And I still kind of follow what they do. But now that I've gotten more into specifically bodybuilding, I have really kind of changed my tune a little bit, seeing what legitimate bodybuilders are doing compared to the guys with decent physiques on TikTok.
Interesting. That's fascinating. So for me, again, I'm not a bodybuilder. I hope to never delve into that realm. But I have gotten in pretty good shape over the past 15, 16 months, lost 25 pounds just by doing Orange Theory and eating well. The easiest thing I think has honestly been showing up. Like once
Right? Like, once you start showing up, it gets easy because it just becomes your thing.
You get addicted to it.
It's your lifestyle.
You see the progress. You're like, I got to keep doing this.
Dude, I hate to cut you off, but dude, my wife is the same way right now. My wife like fought it for so long. And now that she's starting to see results, it's like, oh, this is intoxicating.
Yeah. Like, I was a three-sport athlete in high school. I was an average three-sport athlete in high school. Like, I was good enough to letter. I was never good enough to be like all conference or whatever. But, and then in college, like, I played all the intramurals and I still had a really fast metabolism. So, like, throughout up until I was like probably 26, 27, I had a super fast metabolism. I could eat whatever I wanted and I wouldn't gain any weight. Like, if I hit 165, like, that's that, like, I stayed at 165 for so long. Then the metabolism started slowing down. Then the pandemic happened, the 2020 happened. And all I did was like stay home, drink beer, eat pints of Ben and Jerry's ice cream while watching football. Like, that was it. That was it. And I gained weight up to 210 pounds. And then I started doing Orange Theory in like March of 2023. But then, yeah, you start to see the results and it's like, okay, yeah, this is pretty easy. Another thing that I will say is easier than I thought, because I didn't even start losing weight till about a year ago, maybe 13 months ago. Once you start the calorie deficit, losing the weight is easy. Like, I honestly think losing the weight is easy.
That I tell people that all the time. Losing weight is incredibly easy.
Especially if you're working out 3 days a week, eating. I was doing 1,900 calories. Losing the weight was easy. I lost in a month and a half, 45 days, I lost 18, 19 pounds. I'm down 25 now. The hard part for me now, and I think I'm in the point where you're like, I don't have to do cardio. I think I do, because like I've kind of plateaued at like 185. There's still a lot of body fat that I'd like to trim off. I still have kind of the dad bod.
I don't have to do cardio, but I don't like do, I don't do like legitimate cardio. I do like, I'll do some incline walking, and then like everything here in Lagos is a hill. So I'm walking up hills all the time, but I literally just do a step count. I had 20,000, but it's not like legitimate cardio, I guess.
Yeah, I ran 3 miles this morning. I'm also training for a 15K Tough Mudder, so I'm trying to get in shape there, like cardio shape for that too. But I've found like I've hit like 185 now, and I'm kind of plateauing. And so it's like, oh, I'll lock in and I'll get down to like 183, and then like my in-laws will come over for the weekend, and like I even a couple days of just like eating intuitively, but like knowing I probably ate a little bit more than I should. It's like Sunday I'm 189. It's just like 6 pounds that easy. And it's like, dude, if I could just like stop doing that, that would be great. Like if it were not that easy to just like throw it all right back on is such the hard, that's the hard part for me. Like finding maintenance is been pretty difficult. Completely different. I guess maybe that's where I would say when either losing weight or showing up. Like, because for so long, I just didn't show up, or I thought it was so hard to like get self-motivated to like keep going and keep going and keep going. But honestly, once I started doing Orange Theory, it's like, oh yeah, I work for the Y and I get a free Y membership too. The difference with that is I have to work out by myself. I have to plan my own workout routine, things like that. Orange Theory, I will pay the $160 a month for unlimited workouts for me to show up for an hour, somebody else to tell me what the fuck to do.
Sorry. Oh, you could just pay me $25 a month and I would do that for you. Damn.
That's fair. And they coach you and then you're out in an hour. That's great. It's half cardio, half weight floor. Cool. Get me in, get me out. So I would say that's probably actually what I would say is completely different, but
yeah. If I could change one thing about the Dallas Cowboys, this is also from Scumbag Activity. It would be the ownership, or actually it would be the culture surrounding the Cowboys. It's a very country club type of atmosphere, and I just absolutely hate their culture there in Frisco. That's what I would change.
It kind of seems like Schottenheimer's kind of doing that, right? It seems like the
player. Yeah, well, I'm hoping, but it starts with the ownership, and that's just kind of the way it is. It's a country club there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. JP always comes in strong with questions.
He does. He does, man.
From SB Nation's JP Acosta here. Which second tier wide receiver has the chance to jump into tier one with a strong season? I want to start off by saying that, like, I don't love this wide receiver class at all. like even the top guys. It's like in another year, you'd be like wide receiver six.
I like one guy,
Tyson. So I even watched Tyson, and he's clearly wide receiver one for me. But even then, it's like some of the play strength stuff, some of the, like, I think there's a little bit of wasted movement at the top of routes, some stuff like that, even where I'm like,
yeah. And Brian Maffey dafted. It was a dafter draft that he was going to ask. And I didn't put it on here because I was going to wait for dafter draft, but yeah, he's wide receiver one.
He is.
Yeah.
But even then, like last year, what would he be? If we're talking about
last year, wide receiver one, maybe.
You think so?
Yeah. Over Tet? Over
Tet?
Yeah.
Matthew Golden, Travis Hunter. Yeah. Luther Burden,
yeah.
You think
maybe so? Not over Hunter, because Hunter was my wide receiver one, but I think he'd be right there with Hunter. Dude, his ball skills are insane.
They are. It's some of the movement stuff at the top of routes and off the line of scrimmages I feel like are either shortchanged or elongated. Like there's never the sweet spot. But what mid-tier wide receiver do you think has a chance to elevate into tier one? And I'm going to say Louisville wide receiver Chris Bell. The dude is legitimately 6'2", 220. Like, he is a thick boy. Like, A.J. Brown build. And he's ungodly explosive. And so I think if he figures everything out this year, it's going to be Chris Bell, in my opinion.
Yeah, mine was... keep going?
I was just going to talk about quarterback play. Like, he's coming off of a gunslinger with Tyler Shuck, who threw everything, versus Miller Moss, who will throw everything, but how far can he throw everything is kind of a bigger question there. Or with how much velocity can he drive windows there? But, I mean, if you look at how Chris Bell finished his last four games, he finished the season with 737-4. Last four games, though, he had 300 plus in two of those 770 some yards. So, I'm going to say Chris Bell from Louisville.
Yeah, the two guys. And I just changed my mind on this, too.
Mm.
The two guys that I was thinking about for this are both from the same school, but are both now at different schools. And the one I was going to go with was Dane Key. But I'm actually going to go with his former teammate, Barrion Brown.
Barrion Brown, okay.
And I'm going to do that because...
He runs a 4.2.
He runs a 4.2, and the NFL absolutely adores that type of speed. And not only does he run a 4.2, he runs a 4.2 on the field. Like, that dude absolutely flies.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good at tracking the ball downfield. I watched him last year getting ready for the NFL draft. He ended up not declaring and he ended up transferring, but he has all of the juice in the world. And that LSU offense has all of the juice in the world, because he is the fastest wide receiver on that team, but I don't think it's by much, because I can't remember his name. Number two?
Yeah, Chris Hilton.
Yeah.
They also choose Nick Anderson from Oklahoma, and he can freaking fly too.
Nick Anderson.
All over that freaking field. Yeah.
Yep. But Barrion Brown is going to be the guy that I'm going to go with for this one.
I love that. That's gonna do it, man. We worked through a good deal of questions. 30 minutes, 28. Mm-hmm. We're right around 30 minutes. We've got this down to a science almost.
We do science.
So, we will be back watching some Texas guys, or talking some Texas defense, I should say. But that's it, Dalton. You want to tell the people you love them?
I do. I love you guys, and I will see you guys on Friday.
Until then, this has been another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast.